I wish Jermaine Dupri had told us he was going to be part of the Falcons, you know, schedule launch video. We didn't know that he's in there. They're going over the video of the Welcome to Atlanta. Sam Crenshaw and Jermaine Dupri is basically breaking it down with Matt in the control room. That was funny.
Yeah, I'm literally tweeting right now. Yeah, JD did a good job keeping this one in the bag yesterday.
Yeah, because we talked to Jermaine Dupri for like about 10 minutes before we actually did the interview, and because he got in before as Andy and Randy were wrapping up, and I'm like, well, where's you sandbagging son of a gun? I would have talked about that in our conversation amongst other things, but great interview. It's online at Odyssey.com. Hey, man, right now it's time to talk some NFL. It's time for 4th and 1. Hey, man, 4th and 1 brought to you by Priority Men's Medical Center. Check them out at PriorityMen'sMedical.com. Guys at the bar going, what the hell is this? It's a sports talk show. How you doing? Here in Atlanta. What's going on, man? Number one show in afternoon drive. You look it up. That's us. Thank you, sir. And come on. So, welcome to the party, pal. Abe has got a theory, man. And I'm going to let Abe have the floor. The way the schedule plays out, real quick, for those who didn't hear the schedule release, by now we've all seen it. Week 1, Pittsburgh. Week 2, Carolina. Week 3, that's Thursday Night Football at Green Bay on Amazon Prime. And then we have that extended break to Monday Night Football at New Orleans. You have a theory on how this may play perfectly for the Falcons quarterback situation. What you got?
Yeah, I think there's the possibility that we do not have Michael Penix healthy enough for the start of the year. And look, it may be that he's good to go, and it may be a legitimate competition, and in that case, we'll see what happens. But if it's unable to be a legitimate competition because his health is preventing it,
right?
And you are, again, I'm not expecting Tua to beat him out, but if Tua is, quote, forced to start the season because of health of Mike Penix, you have a perfect opportunity early in the season, if it's not going well for Tua, to make the quarterback change necessary. And that is after week 3 at Green Bay, Thursday Night Football, heading into the, it's really almost a full bye because it's right. Monday night, but the mini bye before week 4. That's a game at the Saints on Monday Night
right.
Football. But if Penix is close and can't quite go, if you want to start Tua and then plan to make a change after week 3, it's a perfect opportunity to do so. And it's, look, you might sit here and say that, well, we don't want to start Penix on the road Monday Night Football.
He's already started in the NFL. He's already been there and done that. We threw him to the Wolves. It was a Monday night game, the Sunday night game in Washington as a true rookie. So he'll be fine.
We're past kid gloves.
Yeah, he'll be fine.
We got to find out what he's got.
I'm with you.
And so, again, this is not about if this is a quarterback competition and he wins or loses. This is a situation, and this is just me personally. I don't believe they're going to be able to hold a proper quarterback competition. I don't think his health is going to be ready. I know I've seen the dancing videos. I saw him throwing. I understand that. I don't think he's going to be good enough to go.
Well, this is what we debate with the audience all the time. We have Falcon fans who say you're hating on Michael Penix Jr. simply by stating the facts you just said. If he cannot go, he's not 100%, you cannot have a true quarterback competition. So Tua would win by default, and you just laid it out.
Now, I took you 3 weeks
right, but
now
if Tua
to get
lays
100%.
If Tua lays an egg, which he just married, because remember, for all Michael Penix being under center, Tua didn't play under center with the Dolphins. Everything was shotgun.
Right.
So you're going to have to ask him to do something that's outside of his comfort level. So I'm with you. I like the way this lays out. And again, that's not hating on Penix. That's simply stating a fact. He may not be ready. So this gives you a chance, because we said you can't have a competition during the regular
season.
And
a quarterback change also cannot wait until week 11 in the bye week. It's way too late.
Season's
in the season.
Season's long gone.
Yeah.
Okay, so then how are you handling this then if Tua is actually playing well?
Ah.
Are you still making that switch?
Hold on. Aha! Aha!
I don't care. The discussion that you're having is not about playing well. It's about winning.
Well, it is, though.
No, it's about winning.
So what if he's playing well and
you're
winning?
Yeah.
So if you're winning, are you making the switch?
No. But that doesn't change how.
But it's not a fair. But if it's so, if it's not a fair quarterback competition because of his injury, right? And I'm not. I'm just saying you don't.
I'm not here for fair. I'm here for making the playoffs.
All right. So if you're winning,
Abe's not here
well,
for fair.
You don't
He's
make
here
the switch.
To make the playoffs. Did you hear what the man just said?
You want me to
drop Mike?
What are you 3-0 and you bench Tua?
That's what I'm saying.
Of course
saying.
You're not doing
okay.
It.
So you ride. You ride.
But
the hot hand.
I'm suggesting, and again, if he's so much better than Penix,
right.
then this will play out. This is, in my mind, a situation where he's handed the job by default, probably doesn't play great.
And just keeping us afloat.
For 3 weeks until the timeline is ready.
Gotcha.
Yeah, I think it, for me, I would head into the season with this being the plan. If you cannot hold a true quarterback competition, that, all right, we got 3 weeks extra. We'll just play Tua. If we need to address it at that time in terms of Tua's quality of play, we can do that. But this is a perfect timeline to actually get Penix into the starting role. You got, what is that, 11 days?
Right. No, the window. I get the math. The window makes sense. Day-Day raises a great point. What if they're winning with Tua? Tua's doing what he does. 1-2-3, and the ball's out. You know, he's throwing for 200, 220 yards. He's got a good completion percentage. Things are clicking. He's buying what Stefanski is selling. And this team, you know, we're getting Kyle Pitts involved. Bijan's doing Bijan stuff. We're going to run the football in a Stefanski offense. Hopefully, see, that's the thing. I don't know how much the play action plays because Tua, historically, the ball, 1-2-3, and the ball's out. You know, but I still think you can use the play action with the run game, and both our quarterbacks have not been comfortable under center historically. So that's where the competition is kind of fair, but it's not fair if one guy can't compete because of the knee injury, Penix, and that's where everyone starts throwing in. I saw him dancing at the wedding, to your point earlier.
Yeah.
Don't mean anything.
No, it doesn't. And look, again, I've been consistent with this part of it this whole time. If Tua wins the job because Penix is not ready and he plays well, you don't make a change. Right. And you want to have the discussion about, well, we need to find out what Penix is all about this year. Not if Tua is your answer.
Right.
Now, I don't necessarily believe that he is going to be your long-term answer, but if it's trending in that direction, I mean, you look at the schedule here, Mike. If you somehow find yourselves at 4-2
right.
after 6 weeks, considering the schedule you have, that's already probably two wins in the NFC South, the Panthers and the Saints included in that. You're not making a change.
Jesse hits me up on the text line. Mike, you said there can't be a competition. We're not talking about it. We're basically saying one guy fails. If Tua doesn't do the job, Abe just laid out a scenario, thanks to the schedule makers, where all of a sudden you can pull this off and make that transition. And again, this isn't Raheem Morris with a first-time or second-year offensive coordinator and Zach Robinson. These are adults. These are guys who've been in through, and believe me, they've been through enough quarterback changes in Cleveland to sink the Titanic. So they know how to handle this kind of situation.
Here's the question. What happens if Penix wins the starting job and looks awful through 3 weeks? Are we using this timeline to bring Tua in?
Well, see, here's where Tua then comes in as a very cheap option, but what are we trying to do here? Why is everybody we signed other than Jahan Dotson on a one-year deal? Why are we just kind of treading water? Why do we think maybe this organization doesn't believe in Penix Jr., the new front office, and the best quarterback for this team is in the draft? He'll be playing college football this fall. So if you go with Penix, give him a sample size. I'm not saying they're going to tank. They don't do that in the NFL. But I'm fine with letting Penix learn his way. You've got to define Penix's skill set and what he is for once and for all for this organization, and then move on. And this will be year three. It won't be a full three seasons, but you'll have 3 years of Penix, and you'll be able to make a judgment.
If Penix
and then he'll be your backup, and eventually you don't pick up his option if he fails.
I think you can
because you didn't draft him, so you're not owing
him anything. All that makes sense. I think you can exchange Tua for Penix after week three. I don't know if you could exchange Penix – I think you can put in Penix replacing Tua after week three.
Right.
I don't know if you could put Tua in replacing Penix that early. I think at that point is when you're looking towards the bye week.
Because you don't know Tua, because Tua, like I said, he might be here 1 year. He might – Tua Tagovailoa might be wearing 5 or 6 different baseball caps, and his career is going to be bouncing around the league.
Tua can be replaced almost immediately from poor play.
But don't tell Carl that.
We can do that.
Carl says T.
U.
Well, that's
A.
Like, that's if you're assuming poor play or not. But I don't think you can replace Penix as quickly.
I'm with you. No, I think they want to get an evaluation.
But you don't think that if he's not playing well, don't you think?
Who's he?
Michael Penix, don't you think waiting till the bye week in week 11 is a little too long, especially if you're on the cusp of potentially, trying to win your division?
I don't, only because I think that week 10, up to week 10, is an incredibly difficult part of your schedule. And I think as long as you're floating a little bit, like I think there's an outside shot that you could be like 3-7 through week 10 and still have some life. You've still got 3 games against the NFC South. You've got the Browns. You've got the Vikings, those winnable games. I think up to week 10 is a brutal stretch. If you're still kind of floating around a little bit, you make a quarterback change, play well, you could go on a run in the final 6 weeks of this season.
It's Abe Gordon, guys, in for Carl today with some interesting takes. I think a lot of folks agreeing with it. You know, this does set up well. But again, how do we evaluate these quarterbacks? How do you have a competition if one guy just isn't prepared? And again, it's not a shot at Michael Penix Jr. We just don't know. No one in the organization has given you any clarity in any interviews they've done, from Stefanski to Ian Cunningham to Matt Ryan. No one said, oh, he'll be good to go for the camp. You know, and I'd love to see Penix be able to compete in the preseason games, which was a disservice that was done by Stefanski and crew last year. By Raheem Morris and crew last year. I think, how does Stefanski handle the preseason, by the way? Tua going to be out there throwing? I mean, obviously, you just laid out the scenarios. Penix probably won't be ready.
I can't imagine, even if Penix is ready for a quarterback competition, I can't imagine you're putting him in a game.
But
right?
Is Tua going to play preseason?
You asking me or are you asking him? Yes.
Otherwise, it's what? Trevor Siemian and the kid from?
Jack Strand.
Minnesota Moorhead. Yeah.
Jack Strand. It probably depends on what Penix is physically.
Right. I'd like
you
to see
can't
that.
Risk
No, but I'd like
now.
To see the preseason not suck. I mean, the preseason does suck as it is.
We I would love to see
And eventually
it,
we're only going to have two games once we go to the 18-game season. But it would be nice. That's why I thought Raheem Morris did a disservice to himself by not having a true quarterback competition last year. Have Cousins and Penix battling in the preseason. He never puts the starters out there. Anyway, guys, it's the 3 o'clock hour. This is the 4th and 1 segment brought to you by Priority Men's Medical Center. Check them out at PriorityMen'sMedical.com. We'll ask more about this with our guest coming up in about 10 minutes' time, less than that. And that is our buddy, DJ Shockley. Shock, of course, you see him on Fox 5, covers the Falcons. We'll get his take on Georgia, plus all the scenarios that Abe just played out about how this thing is going to roll with the Falcons and the quarterback situation. Also, guys, what do you make? You and I, again, haven't worked in a while. Catch up on some of the stuff that's gone down. The globalization, you know, it's the NFL's business model. You know, you're trying to, you know, get – it's never going to surpass soccer in Europe, but there is a passionate fan base that sells out stadiums, that buys a ton of gear. Every town in – or every major city in Europe has got sports bars that cover their favorite NFL teams, just like you would hear in Atlanta, New York, Chicago. So they got traction. It's not going anywhere. But now you get into, like, Australia.
Right.
I mean, did you see the story yesterday where the 49ers are going to travel more this year than the Cleveland Browns, or Cincinnati, I should say, traveled all of the last three seasons as far as air miles? It's crazy.
And part of that's coming here, right? And they've
East Coast,
some
West
East Coast,
Coast
schedules,
yeah.
Along with Mexico City and Australia. The question, and I understand the business aspect of it, I understand the on-site. And you've been to these games, and I'm sure Madrid's going to be an awesome experience as well. Does it ever stop becoming a novelty? Like, do they ever get tired of it?
No, if anything,
that's
again,
question.
You know Fricky's line, we're going to have a team based in Europe. I mean, well, I'm not sure that's viable, but you do see the NFL now where every, you know, every team's going to have an international game every year. You know, that's where it's building up to.
So
Fricky, for those who missed Fricky's point a couple years ago, oh yeah, we're gonna have two teams based in Europe. It's coming. Like, well, who's that? We're not expanding to 34 teams.
Since I worked with him a lot more than you, he then proceeded to have a whole NFL division over there.
Okay,
so all four teams.
Well, again, I don't see us going to a 36-team league.
Wow.
I mean, that's news to me. Anyway, that's Abe in for Carl today. This show today, we'll talk with Grant McCall, and you can hear Grant on the weekend. He's the authority in baseball right here on the game. Sundays, you can catch Grant from the Diamond, a comprehensive look at the Braves and Major League Ball. It's brought to you by Mark Spain Real Estate. Get a guaranteed offer on your home at markspain.com and by Window Nation. Visit windownation.com for your free consultation today. That's from the Diamond with Grant Sunday on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Live from Twin Peaks in Buckhead, Abe in for Carl. Let's ask Shock. What does he think this schedule means? And does he buy what Abe is selling about an easy way to maybe move from one quarterback to the other if things aren't going right for that first quarterback? Stay tuned. Hey, man. Hope you're having a great weekend. Friday, it's Dukes and Bell. Our man Abe Gordon, a little bit softer now, hanging out with us in for Carl. Real quick, before we get to our man, DJ Shockley, talking about the Falcons in Georgia. We were talking about Jermaine Dupri. He was in the studio with us, and he totally sandbagged us. Didn't tell us anything about being part of the Falcons schedule release video. You reached out to him on social media?
Yeah, I tagged him and said, man, JD kept this one in the bag yesterday, and he hits back, told y'all I was working, LOL. Which he did say
to
y'all.
He did say. He's been working. Like, on what? He goes, and remember we asked him, we said, can't say.
Yep.
I go, really?
So good stuff,
there you
man.
Go.
Good
so he
stuff.
Knows how to keep a secret. They do they even tell a music producer, an impresario like Jermaine Dupri, you can't leak stuff. So
right.
There you go. Hey, man, let's talk to our man, one of the best quarterbacks to play at University of Georgia and a tremendous broadcaster. And he's just a good guy. It's DJ Shockley joins us right now on the Sweet James Accident Attorney Hotline. Hey, Shock, Abe's got a theory. Abe, run your theory by Shock real quick.
Well, I was just saying that if Michael Penix is not able to have a legitimate quarterback competition, that you look at this mini bye after the Green Bay Packers game Thursday night, it's actually an extra day because you go to Monday Night Football. If for some reason Tua is not getting the job done, naturally that would be an okay time to make the quarterback change because week 11 waiting until the bye week is way too late.
I said faster. So basically you're going to –
I spoke as good as I
could. You took too long. Shock, what do you make of that, man? You buying that?
You know what? I think it all depends on Tua for sure, man. I think it all depends on how he's playing. Because we can see Tua go out and light it up, and he'd be like, okay, well, you don't need Penix to come out and see what he can do. But I think if you're kind of middle of the road, you got to see what you got in Mike. And obviously, I don't think you want to rush Mike back. And I think that's the biggest deal is Rose coming off his third ACL, and I know he's working hard. We've seen the pictures and of him throwing at practice right now and all this kind of stuff. He's 6 months out. But you still got to be careful with him, man. And the guy, you hope he has a long career, and you want to see right. what he has to come about it if he's naturally healthy. But I think you got to ease him into it. Now, I don't know if it's, you know, 10 weeks down the road you want to wait to see. But if it takes that long, then I'm fine with that. But as long as Tua's getting the job done, I don't think nobody's going to complain about it.
How quickly does Tua adapt to this offense? Because, you know, Carl and I have gone round and round, Shock, about both Penix and Tua do not spend a lot of time under center, you know, from his time with the Dolphins or, you know, taking all the way back to Washington from Michael. So how does these guys fit in what Stefanski wants to run?
Yeah, that's a good question. I think that's part of what this summer is all about, getting these guys comfortable in their role because this is something they have to do. You got two backs who have been a lot, I mean, in their career, they've done a lot in the I formation, also the line of gun. But with this style of offense, they want to be able to use the play action. They want to be able to stretch it, you know, and use the, you know, offset of the outside zone, the inside zone. And you got to better have that play action game to go with it. And both these guys, I think they understand coming into this offense, you got to do a little bit of that. And I think Michael Penix, you heard him talk about it in the offseason when he sat down with Gruden, like, hey, man, I love to be on the center. I don't mind doing it. I can do it.
Right.
This misnomer that I can't do it is crazy. And I think both these guys understand to be successful in this offense and what Stefanski and Tommy Rees have done in the past is you have to get under center. So this is going to be a big offseason for both those guys. And I know a little bit more for Tua because he's going to be able to go through all the reps of it. But these guys will have to get under center and use that play action because that's going to be a big part of what they do offensively.
Shock, the Falcons are playing the AFC North, among other divisions this season, including that week one game against the Steelers and also a highlight game there in Madrid. Kevin Stefanski obviously coming from the AFC North. How big of a benefit is that with his familiarity with that division, even though some of them have new quarterbacks, some of them have new coaches? He certainly knows the majority of those players in that division.
Yeah, AD spot on with that, man. I think that's a big deal because – you understand personnel, but sometimes when you only play certain divisions every two or three, 4 years, you know, sometimes you go in it and you're not really sure what the personnel look like. Yeah, you go through it during the week, but if you got a coach who's been there and done it, you got coaches on the staff who played against it, coached against those guys in that division, it helps you tremendously. So I think that's going to be a big plus going into those weeks of knowing, okay, this is the style of defense these guys like to play. These are the fronts. These are the coverages. These are the type of concepts they like to run against certain teams. So all that kind of stuff gives you a leg up as opposed to, you know, a staff that hasn't been around that division for a long time. So give, you know, Stefanski them a lot of credit because, you know, you got Baltimore coming to town who obviously got Lamar Jackson. You played against him. You know what they're like. You saw Cleveland up close and personal. You know Pittsburgh, obviously Cincinnati. So all those teams, I think, will have an advantage, especially for the Falcons, when they come in knowing what they're going to do because it's a big deal. You've seen them before.
Talk with our man Shock, DJ Shock, the guys from Fox 5, former Falcons Georgia quarterback on the Sweet James Accident Attorneys Hotline. Pitt's going to have one of those years where we'll be having a great conversation about, wow, do we tag him again, give him an extension? You think? I mean, because we know that Stefanski's offense plays towards the tight end. And I know it comes back to the quarterback debate, who's going to be throwing. But you think Pitts is going to have a breakout this year?
You know, I think it was fun to see Pitts have a good time last year. And I think we, since he came into the scene in his rookie year, everybody's expecting Pitts to be that guy. I mean, he's big. He's athletic. You walk up to, you guys are out there, you know, doing training camp. You see Pitts, you're like, dude, how is anybody guarding this guy? And you're like, this guy is one of those should-be top-caliber players. And then he goes out and has the kind of year he has. He was one of the featured guys last year, made some big-time plays down the stretch. But I think it's going to be hard, man. If he goes out and have another big-time year, I think it's hard to franchise him again. It's hard to pay him again because hopefully you can get Bijan done. You got Drake right there on the horizon. So you got some other guys who are sitting right there who will demand big money as well. So I don't know if there's any bread left for Kyle to get it. But you can only hope that he's a big deal and comes through for you again. And I think that's why they franchise him this year. Say, hey, we saw you do it a little bit last year. Let's see if you can do it again 2 years in a row.
And, Chuck, just to follow up, you know, I mean, for all the things I take shots on Zach Robinson, and I don't think he gave Penix a great chance to do his job. I mean, Pitts had one of those statistically the second-best tight end in the league, you know, in a number of statistical categories. So that worked. What do you think? I mean, Zach Robinson, is he going to have success because Baker's a veteran? I just felt like Raheem and his coaching decisions, part of the reason Raheem's not here is Zach was in over his head.
Yeah, I think part of it, too, was the defense was playing – pretty good, pretty decent throughout the year, and you don't want to do anything that kind of hurts your quarterback or stunt his growth, because you got to think about it. You had a young guy who was still trying to, you know, prove himself, trying to, you know, get acclimated to this league, and you're trying to find things that he does well. And when you do that, sometimes it cuts off the rest of your offensive game plan. So a lot of it was Zach trying to, you know, give Penix things that he's comfortable with while playing in a game that's moving really fast, but then also you're trying to get other guys the football and be, you know, kind of responsible for that too. So I think it was a tough spot to be in for both guys. But I think Zach, you know, going in with a veteran quarterback, he can open it up a little bit more. We know Baker can be under center. He can be in the gun. He's going to be more of a gunslinger. I think he'll open it up a little bit more knowing he has a guy who's been around and done it. So I expect that offense probably to look a little bit differently, especially with the talented receivers they got in Tampa as well. So it's going to be interesting to see how he does, but I think you'll see a different Zach Robinson and a plan when he goes to Tampa.
It is DJ Shockley on Dukes of Bell, courtesy of the Sweet James Accident Attorneys Hotline. Obviously, former Falcons quarterback, but also a former Georgia quarterback. And we had Bryant McFadden on last hour. I didn't get a chance to ask him this, so I'll just slide the question down to you, DJ. Florida State, Georgia, rescheduling that home-and-home for a neutral site game, but there's seven different cities listed as in the running. Ultimately, when that game does get scheduled for 2028 between Florida State and Georgia, who do you believe is going to be the host city of those seven?
That's a good question. Mike, is Georgia allowed to play Florida State after what we did to them a few years ago? Is that all right?
Look, the Orange Bowl never happened. It's an exhibition game, okay? That never mattered. Now, granted, Kirby Smart killed the program, and all Florida State fans like me, we just want this season to get over with and this buyout Norvell and the athletic director. But, yes, I still was looking forward, Shock, to you coming down to Tally, going out, and Florida State fans are looking forward to Athens. Unfortunately, these games now die because of the strength of schedule element with the new college football playoff. So you're playing a nine-game conference schedule. Why play if FSU got good, play a good team?
Yeah, no doubt about it. I'm with you, man. I love the fact that you get a chance to play this game. I don't really care where it's at, to be honest. I mean, a lot of people love the neutral side of it where, you know, you can get both sides in there and have a good time. And by that time, both teams will still be pretty good. I think it's a fun game to have, man. I remember being recruited by Florida State and actually was going to go to Florida State if Coach Rick stayed there. So I was a big fan of Tallahassee. I wanted the home and home because it's such a great environment. But we'll see what happens, man. I think just having that game with those two major brands, I think people will love it wherever it's at.
You know, man, I don't think you've ever told me that story before. Because two words, Chris Ricks, could have been DJ Shockley. Wow.
No doubt.
That's a bitter pill. Wow, now I feel even worse about FSU. Real quick, before we cut you loose, feel the pressure like with Kirby, not that it's old school, but in this new modern era with the transfer portal and, you know, for instance, Gunnar Stockton is not top 10 in payroll in the SEC quarterbacks, and you see where Georgia ranks. Is there a degree of pressure for Kirby to make this work his old school way this year?
Yeah, no doubt. I think Kirby is trying to do a really good job of – he doesn't want to overpay all these kids, and he wants to still go by the role of, hey, I want to develop these kids. And he still can tell these kids that when they're coming in to be recruited, hey, look at all the guys we're putting in the league. So we're developing these kids and getting them to the next level, and I think that ultimately pays. But then you look at the major brand of college football and how everybody's – starting to kind of even it out a little bit. It makes it a little bit harder on everybody, including Georgia. So Kirby has a little upper hand with, hey, I'm sending all these guys to the league, but it also makes it a lot tougher to get some of these guys because money still talks to a lot of these kids, and you know, sometimes it don't work all the way for them. So we'll see how it goes down the road. But at the end of the day, Kirby's still doing a good job of maintaining his, I think, his roster and developing, and they still going to be in the ring when it comes to at the end of the year.
You know, we talk so much about, you know, football and just the end results and just getting to the championship, but I got to tell you, and you know this, Shaq, when we sit down with guys who played for Kirby, I mean, I wanted Zachariah Branch so bad, and we talked to the man. He's just as impressive as when we spoke with Jalen Walker last year. I mean, there is an there's like an archetype to play for Kirby.
For sure, and that's one of the things he preaches. He wants to show guys, you know, hey, you can do it on and off the field, but also you're going to represent us the right way, and I think he set a standard, and people talk about culture a lot, and it's a huge thing there. And when you step into that program, you understand what it's like to be a Georgia Bulldog, and at the end of the day, that's why all these GMs and head coaches, at the end of the day, they say, hey, if I can get me a dog, I know he is ready to play right now. And that's one thing that they love about him on the next level.
Right. We're not talking about transfers or getting in trouble. That's different. All right, man, real quick, talk about what were you doing? You're swinging the sticks today. You're a quarterback, so obviously you got game. What were you doing today?
Yeah, man, I'm down in Alabama swinging the sticks at a charity golf tournament for Jimmy Rain. Actually heard Coach K speak last night. He was really good, man. He told some really great Kobe and MJ stories, which was really good. But it's always a fun tournament. I love to come and support, and it was really cool to see it. And he sent 47 kids to school this year to college. So shout out to Jimmy Rain. He does some big things down in Alabama.
Very cool. Day-Day covers high school sports here is going, yes, thumbs up. Hey, man, Shaq, always great catching up, man. We'll see you soon.
All right, fellas, appreciate y'all. Y'all be good.
You got it, man. Catch him on TV. The camera loves him. That's DJ Shockley, guys. We're live at Twin Peaks in Buckhead. A reminder, guys, speaking of Twin Peaks, there is still time for you to enter for a chance to enjoy the Father's Day dinner with 92.9 The Game. Go to 92.9thegame.com, click the contest page. Tell us why you and a guest, maybe if your dad's still alive or you want to bring your son or your daughter, celebrate Father's Day with us. 10 winners and their guests will join us on June 5th. Special dinner at the Twin Peaks in Kennesaw in this big, macked out room they built out, which if you haven't seen it yet, it's like a Vegas style sports book. It's going to be very cool. Brought to you in part by Echo Park Speedway and Chattanooga Whiskey. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game's fourth annual Father's Day dinner. Enter now at 92.9thegame.com. All right, it's Friday. That means there's five things that Day-Day wants to get off his chest. Coming up next, live from Twin Peaks in Buckhead. Join the party, pal. I'm really freaking out about this traffic situation. Abe says it's much to do about nothing.
It's not going to be nothing, but I just, you know, a little bit of...
You realize, so you're going north on 285. You're going to swing over. Right, and now you get all these detours, and it's going to get to 20. It's going to be a blank show, man.
It's going to be traffic. It's Atlanta. That's fine. I don't think it's going to be.
All right.
I don't think it's going to be the snowmageddon 13 hours and driving 1 mile. Like you're going to get through it.
Very blasé about this. All right, man.
Well, I'm not going anywhere.
All right. You're not running?
No.
What's wrong?
I hurt my calf.
Did what?
I hurt my calf.
Playing with pain, are we?
No, I swam this morning, Mike.
What? Really?
I'm a swimmer now.
That's awesome. That's
you hurt
best
your calf
exercise.
Swimming?
Yeah. No, I hurt my calf running, and now I'm swimming to still try and work out.
Cardio.
Are you wearing flippers?
Yeah, I did not. The lady next to me was wearing flippers. She's cheating.
Best exercise.
She's swimming way faster than me. She's cheating.
Right. No, it really is. If you can do it, it's the great exercise. It really is.
Well, for those of you who are runners and haven't tried swimming, it's a legitimate – I know that everyone does the heart rate zone stuff.
Right.
It is a zone two. I can't get my heart out of zone two while swimming.
Right.
I can't keep it in zone two
while
running.
I have no idea what any of this means.
It's just how hard your heart's working.
No, I'm 119 beats per minute. That's my max. That's what you're shooting for the fat burning zone for me.
Wait, that's not your max.
No, that's the fat burning zone.
Yeah,
that's all
okay,
I focus on.
I was going to say.
Keep my pulse in the fat burn. So Dwayne had poor Dwayne over here. He's had a couple of strokes. He's fine. Just one. No, we were just talking. We were comparing notes on having your heart. You're feeling like... Is my finger tingling? What's going on here? Like whenever my wife and I are walking on Las Vegas Boulevard, walking over to Caesars to go to lunch at Joe Stone Crab, and all of a sudden I'm like, what the?
What's really going on?
I'm looking at my wife, I'm like, I think I'm having a heart attack. She's like, oh, stop. Like, that's what my wife said. Oh, stop. I'm going to go. Like, if I could have dropped dead, she would have just taken my wallet and gone and played slots. You know what I mean? That's basically what it is.
Takes you back to the room.
Like, honey, I don't feel good. She's like, ugh. Well, sit down then. I mean, that's,
you're fine. Tough
that's
it out.
That's literally what she said to me. Oh, just sit down then. I'm like, I feel really. She's like, okay, you're clammy and pale. I believe you now. Like, thanks. Thanks. Anyway, yeah, so don't mess with your heart. But anyway, Abe's a guy that is actually, for all the things we bust balls on Abe, he is arguably the best athlete at the radio station. I know someone would say, well, that's not saying much. But no, Abe really is arguably the best
athlete. Unexpected athlete. No, they're yeah. real athletes.
No, but I'm saying, for you, even yeah. though you are pear-shaped at times, it depends yes. on your time of year, you yeah. are a great athlete. I'll admit that.
I appreciate that.
Guy always looks like, of all the Atlanta media, again, low bar, he is the most in-shape guy when they have the soccer tournament at Atlanta United.
Yes.
You run circles around those guys.
I do. I take pride in it.
Speaking of defibrillator, worried about Joe Patrick. All right, what's up, Day-Day? It's time to talk with our man, Damian Day-Day Lewis. What you got?
All right, man, before we jump into the Friday Five real quick, do want to give a shout-out to the Roswell Hornets, our very own John Parla, his son Caden,
hey.
And a host of other seniors on that team. Pulled off what has not been done in boys lacrosse here in high school, or high school lacrosse here in Georgia, and that is they won 17-14 over Milton for the GHSA Division II title, their fourth straight title.
Really?
No boys team in Georgia has ever won four straight titles. That's their sixth wow. overall. So congratulations. That's one heck of a way to go out as a senior, winning a state title all 4 years of your high school career.
That's
so,
awesome, man. Good for Paula's yeah. kid, man. That's
oh, yeah,
great.
Man. They were excited, so and for good reason. Also, I want to show some love to my women's hoops fans, Atlanta Dream. Home opener this Sunday, y'all. Las Vegas Aces are in town. So if you're a fan of Asia Wilson, even though you are a fan of the Dream, good opportunity. I saw this morning tickets were still available. Had them as low. And then remember, this is one of the five games at State Farm Arena.
Right.
So they still had tickets available. I want to say as low as maybe $57
okay.
from what I saw. So if you want
to. Good start to the Dream. They're 2-0
yeah,
on the road.
2-0.
Las Vegas plays tonight, too. So
yeah.
and they got a tough road trip.
Yeah, they do. And they got off to a rough start. Now, granted, that happened to them last year, and they still reached the finals. But still, really good opportunity for you to see some of the top performers in women's in the WNBA. All right, Friday 5. With the schedule release, I was looking, and I was like, man, if I had the time and the bread, I would love to hit all five of these games. So I want to know what five games on the Falcons schedule, if you had the time to make it happen, would you like to see? And I'll just run through mine real quick. I would love to do Pittsburgh and Green Bay for the simple fact. Pittsburgh and Green Bay haven't been to either one of those cities, but with Green Bay, I mean, it's Lambeau, right?
Like, yeah. And it's Lambeau early in the year. The thing is, yeah. you go up there Thursday and, you know, hang out. It's a buddy of ours, Greg, a friend of ours, he's got one of those houses that, right, you walk across the parking lot, it's right there. So he's got this neighborhood feel where it's almost like Pimlico, but it's a nicer neighborhood.
Right.
Where you get the house, and they get the fire pits and the TVs outdoor, and it's a whole scene before you walk in. And the stadium's unbelievable. The museum, the Packer Hall of Fame.
Yeah.
It really is. It's impressive.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, and that's just, again, that's one of the stadiums that's on my bucket list to get to. The next two would be Tampa. I love Tampa, first of all. I just love visiting there. But that's a great time of year because it's not going to be super hot, but it's going to be nice and warm. And I just love the way their stadium is set up.
You know what, brother? You know, it's funny. I was down there with Scotty a couple years ago. That's when we ran out of dump on the dump button that day. But, yeah, I did a live call, and probably a bad idea after, like, 50 shots. But we were at Whiskey Joe's on the Back Bay in Tampa, and Akeem and my whole crew, we had all Atlanta, like Atlanta takeover of this beach bar. And you're right. The stadium is great. The vibe, the food, the music, everything's just a perfect. It's a really great outdoor environment. It really is.
Yeah, it is. And then Clearwater, which is my favorite beach, is right over there.
Right on.
All right, of
so watch out for those Scientologists, man. Yeah.
I think we all probably would have the next one on our list, which is the Bengals game in Madrid.
Yes.
And then finally, the Vikings. I always hear really good things. And you kind of get the vibe even when you watch it on TV. But I always hear about how cool the atmosphere is when they get games kicked off and things of that nature.
There's some great restaurants. I mean, it's a major city. So there's a walkable town. In the winter, they have like those, what do they call that, the Skyway, where you walk between, you know, the they have these tubes that connect from building to building if it's freezing
out. Okay.
So you don't freeze your butt off. And, again, Minnesota is, you might be okay.
Yeah.
Weekend, the Sunday after Thanksgiving. But I'm with you. Abe, real quick, before we get to your five, the year the Falcons, I've heard Carl's heard me tell this. Carl's off today, so he won't have to roll his eyes. He's hearing another Mike story. But the year the Falcons beat the Vikings in the 99 NFC Championship game, when Morton Anderson, it's a game after Gary Anderson misses his.
Yeah.
The silence in that stadium, you know, which, I mean, you could hear a pin drop. And when we're on the field, I'll never forget Travis Hall high-fives me. I think my shoulder's never been the same. That guy was like a monster. Dan Reeves doing the Dirty Bird on stage. So we're leaving, and we're walking out of the Metrodome, the Hubert Humphrey Metrodome. And the Minnesota folks, I kid you not, on the soul of my father, are like, well, you good luck now against the Broncos. Good luck down there. You get them. It was like the nicest
people. Yeah.
The nicest. I mean, you just got your heart broken. You're 15-1, you know, with Randall Cunningham and Chris Carter and Randy Moss, and you just blew it because your coach and Denny Green blew that, along with Brian Billick, if you're honest. But anyway, so to your point, really nice people. All right, what you got?
Yeah, I got a number of the ones that you already mentioned, Day-Day. I had the Buccaneers for a very similar reason. It's starting to get a little cold here, maybe catch some nice warmth down there. Yeah. I lived in Tampa for a couple of years, so got some friends there. Wouldn't mind visiting. Bengals in Madrid and the Packers was number one, just because I think for most football fans who haven't been to Lambeau, right. It feels like it's a bucket list. I threw the Browns and the Commanders on there. They're back-to-back weeks in the middle of winter. Be brutal atmospheres. But I got a bunch of friends. I've been to a couple games in those cities, and so I'm not going. I don't want to go to New Orleans. I want to go to New Orleans. I don't want to go to a Saints game.
Well, I'll pick it up and take it where you leave it right there. Yeah. I would say the obvious Pittsburgh, we're going to lock that in, going to be there, and we're going to work. I talked to the boss. We're going to try to put something together. I know sales got to get involved, but I always felt like, you know, a casino would probably say, hey, if a radio says you bring a couple people to gamble, well, let's go hang out at the casino. It's right down the street from the stadium. We're working on it, just spitballing some ideas. But definitely Pittsburgh. I'm with you guys for all the reasons we mentioned in Green Bay.
Yeah.
I love New Orleans for 48 hours. It's one of the greatest cities for food and fun. And it sucks when you lose and when Steve Gleason blocks the punt and we blow that game back in O's. I mean, but it's still an amazing environment. And I say this all the time. I'll give Saints fans all the credit. When they're playing the Ying Yang Twins, that place is rocking. That's what people don't understand, especially Packers and Bears is special. There's nothing like a rivalry with soul. And that's what the Saints and Falcons is. Good-natured ball busting. You're having fun. We get to say the same thing they say to us. Get your hat, get your coat, get on out the door.
Yeah.
I love going to New Orleans for a game.
New Orleans is an awesome city. I love New Orleans. I just don't know if I want to go to a game there.
No, I mean, the Superdome is old. And I know
you say it's good nature fun.
I've always had a good – well, also,
you sit with the wrong crowd, you're going to get into a fight.
Part of the reason we have fun, my boy Trustee, my boy Brian, stand-up comedian, and taking him to Indianapolis, Day-Day won't go. His wife wouldn't let him.
It's not that I won't go.
We'll work on it next year. But anyway, you see the house I'm renting up there?
Yeah.
It's like a mansion, dude.
It is, yeah.
You can't – wife won't – you know? Sure.
So the problem is it's the same weekend the kids get out of school, and that's my oldest son's two dead weeks. Yeah. So we have to take advantage of his dead weeks.
Yeah. Man, having kids ruins everything. I'm sure you're having a lot of fun. But no, I think, Abe, to your point, I'm always sitting with a Saints fan.
Yeah.
And so when I come down the aisle, you got to say, you brought him, you know, and the ball busting starts. And, you know, but I've never had a problem.
Same here.
If you can battle with your wits, and again, as long as no one's drinking 25 beers and the fisticuffs start, and that's going to happen, I still love the Saints games, man. I'll put it down. But I'm with you. So we got Pittsburgh, Green Bay, the Saints, and Madrid for sure, if you can make that work. And I'm with Abe. I always love Tampa. Tampa's, for all the reasons we talked about, easily you can drive it if you don't want to fly it and deal with that. So pick your poison. Fuel costs. Airline tickets or fuel costs in your SUV down there. But I'm with you. So I think we're all on the same page on this.
Definitely. You know what? I would have put Cleveland on mine if it was earlier.
I know. The time of year scared people off. Yeah. I understand that. I'll deal with the cold. I can fight the cold. I falter in the heat. So,
all right, man. Good job, Day-Day, with our Friday Five. Right now, time for another PGA Championship leaderboard update brought to you by Trajan Wealth, your trusted local fiduciary advisors, and by Bobby Jones Golf Course Atlanta. Golf open to everyone. All right. Who is Aldrich Puttgier?
That's your
Puttgier.
Poltergeist? He's leading the tournament right now.
I just looked up the phonetics, and I still butchered it.
Potgeiter.
I'm the worst on this. I'm like steak
I think you
now.
Said Potgeiter.
I'm like steak. You know, steak's like Potgeiter, Pagata, Pagoda.
He is he's 5 under Potsticka. Still on the course right now.
Aldrich Potsticker is leading. No, Potgeiter, 21-year-old from South Africa by way of Australia. He is 2 under for the day. He is leading the whole shebang at 5 under. So that'll be one for the ages. If this guy, and again, you don't want to see a guy win and never win anything
else. Randy got on his bad side, and so Randy is very anti-Potgeiter from the start yesterday.
Why? Because of diplomatic immunity.
No, he just he decided that he shouldn't be contending, and so he's starting to root against him, and he's still up there. He's still getting it done.
Alex Smalley from the USA. You know anything about him?
Yeah, I know he's 4-under.
Okay. Chris Goddard, we do know his game.
He's my guy. Let's go.
Big mover, 5-under today. Yeah. He shot a 65, so he's 3-under. Hideki Matsuyama, I got him in. We didn't do anything for this one. We did the big Calcutta for the Masters. Mm-hmm. I always go for Matsuyama. Minwoo Lee at 3-under today. And then we're about the Americans, more Americans. Cameron Young, he is at 3-under today, 2-under for the tournament, the winner of the players. Justin Thomas, 1-under, so he goes 69-69. Hey now, Scottie Scheffler was 1-over today, but he's still in striking distance as just 2-under because one thing about the guys on the top of the leaderboard, they've never been there before.
Yeah.
So see what happens on moving day. Again, guys, it's our PGA leaderboard update brought to you by Trajan Wealth, your trusted local fiduciary advisors, and Bobby Jones Golf Course, golf open to everyone. Hey, we talked to Shockley, DJ Shockley, last segment about Georgia and Kirby. I want to pick your brains on some of the things that Shock had to say about Kirby and UGA and the pressure for the 26th season. And, you know, are you building up to something that has to result in a natty? Also, guys, the latest on the transfer student arrest. It's all coming up live from Twin Peaks in Buckhead. Abe's in for Carl on Dukes and Bell.